I'm only happy when it rains, so you're in luck. We have a flash flood warning. Hey, good morning and welcome to...
Sound like a morning DJ there for a minute. Coming up, the Bengals.
Always try for that.
Yeah.
You know, we look for that.
On public radio.
Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. It is Friday, the 9th of August, and it is a delight to have you. First and foremost, before we go on, of course, Alan is here, Ray is here for our panel. Before we go on, we'd like to thank, I'm sure Alan will join me in this, of thanking our friends at SPAC for a lovely broadcast yesterday.
Yeah, lovely. It was.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Marcia was great. She's a wonderful CEO, and her deputy Shane is I don't think we've ever been treated better in terms of the food.
There you go. Yeah, we had a catered affair yesterday.
Was
it was very nice.
I gained 6 pounds.
You did not.
I don't know if that's possible.
What are you up to, 9 now?
I did not. No, I'm on the fat side of things.
Oh,
I really am. I've been down as low as 132. Now I'm at 140.
Huh.
That's 8 pounds extra.
That is just...
And I have to do something about it.
Good. Well, okay.
Well, get busy. We are
get busy.
Yeah, get busy. We have some interesting topics to talk about and some interesting things, I think. Let us start with the story that we just heard from the BBC, which I think led their newscast. And that is the U.S. pulling diplomats from Lahore in Pakistan amid terror threats. The State Department has evacuated most of its diplomats from Pakistan in response from Lahore in response to a terrorist threat against the U.S. consulate, according to State Department and other senior U.S. officials. We have picked up what we regard as a threat worthy of taking this action, according to U.S. officials. The State Department issued an ordered departure for all of its diplomats in Lahore Thursday, except for a handful of emergency personnel. Of course, this comes right after the travel warning issued by the State Department and ordering a drawdown and basically putting people on high alert of the possibility of terrorist attacks. We talked about this on Monday, and we look at, of course, what happened in Benghazi, Alan, and now you have this.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it seems like you can't be too careful.
A, you can't be too careful, and B, you can't win. I mean, if you pull them out, you get criticized for pulling them out and seeming cowardly and all the rest of it. But if you don't pull them out and something like Benghazi happens, then your political opponents pile on in a rather despicable way, in my opinion, and don't give you any peace. So now you have to be, even more cautious. And if you pick something up, you got to do it. And I'm sure that's exactly what's going on.
It is unclear whether the latest threat to the consulate was related to the current threat against U.S. facilities and personnel that prompted the U.S. to close diplomatic posts throughout the Middle East, Asia, and Africa.
Well,
go ahead, Alan.
Well, look, we know who these terrorists are. They want attention. And this is a ready-made situation for them. We're doing all the preparatory work. We're saying it's going to happen. It's exactly what they want. So you better believe that in some ways it's invitational. In other words, it creates a situation where they say, aha, we're trying to raise hell, and this is a situation that is ready-made for us, and we're going to step in. And I am sure they're delighted with the results.
Well, this is something that I think is interesting. There is there's an interesting article. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk since earlier this week about did the U.S. go too far in closing the embassies and the consulates throughout the Middle East and North Africa? And in addition, Americans were told to leave Yemen, the epicenter of Al-Qaeda, in the Middle East, and the State Department pulled out non-emergency embassy personnel and military aircraft that flew them to Germany. Critics included the Yemen government, saying that the U.S. adoption of such a defensive posture only bolstered the bad guys, giving Al-Qaeda a propaganda victory.
Mm. Exactly.
Well, the president, by way of forward promotion, the president will be speaking today at 3. I assume he'll cover this in some detail, and we will carry it live here on WAMC.
At 3 o'clock this afternoon, at least that's the scheduled time as of right now.
Yes, he'll take his time sometimes.
Yes.
And it'll be 3:30, it'll be 7 o'clock. It'll happen.
Or NPR can run it at 11.
It'll be 15 minutes from now.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
There's that option as well.
It's the president. He can pretty much show up whenever he wants.
Exactly.
So, but if you are the president, Alan, let's put this into some political terms. How do you address these situations? Because we're not talking about the economy. We're not talking about health care. We're talking about the security of this nation.
Yeah, we're talking about human lives. You've got to err, if you're going to err at all, on the side of protection. Now, look, you know, there are these foreign governments. The Yemenis can yell all they want. But the fact of the matter is, where are they? Are they stepping up? Are they doing what they have to do? And, from my perspective, the answer to that is no.
Well, I mean, they did claim yesterday that they had foiled a plot, a big al-Qaeda plot. And, you know, that was from the Yemeni government. So maybe they are stepping up.
Well, maybe they are. You know, in this, there's a lot of faking out going on. A good deal of it is correct. I have no doubt about it. I think if they say they picked up the stuff, they picked up the stuff. But on the other hand, everybody has a political motive here, and everybody has a political constituency. They have people who are going to vote for them, not vote for them, who are going to support them, not support them. And it's predictable that if you drop a drone into Pakistan, the Pakistani authorities are going to say, stop that. What are they going to say? Yes, we welcome drones in Pakistan? Or are they going to say, there are no such people here in Yemen, and we have to sacrifice your people? They're going to say, you shouldn't do it, and we're going to say, the hell with you.
You know, Alan, one of the things that I found interesting about this is that I've heard a lot about over the last week on the talk shows, on the bluster shows, as I call them, that they're talking about, whether the president made the right move, and a lot of what we've been talking about as far as, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And one of the things they said, well, it's because of this polarized political climate that we have that has created the situation for the president. No matter what he does, it's going to be put into a negative light, and it's not going to satisfy the people. This comes a couple of weeks after my reading of a book on World War II. It seems like we have been dealing with this throughout our history. This is really nothing new as far as when it comes to the protection of this country, when it comes to military action, when it comes to certain actions that need to be taken to secure the people, you're going to come under fire because you're going to put somebody out.
I guess that's right. It's unlikely, however, like World War II, that we're going to get dragged into a confrontation with Muslim states. I doubt that very much. So I think it's much more likely that there will be, because you see, we're not fighting countries. We're not fighting a Hitler with a Germany.
Right.
What we have here is just a guy here, a guy there, who say, I'm al-Qaeda of Saudi Arabia, or I'm al-Qaeda this or that, and I'm going to kill your people. And the question then comes to the United States: how do you react to that as a nation state? And that is where we have really developed problems.
We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will continue the conversation and talk about some other things, including the presidential news conference. We'll talk about that and much more. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also get through Facebook.
Sure.
And Twitter.
Sure.
And what other social media? Instagram, if you want to have a photo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
All of that good stuff.
Fantastic.
We'll be back right after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Bel Air Music Festival, High Mount, New York, presenting pianist Kenny Barron and his Platinum Quintet, closing out the Catskill Mountain Jazz Series this Saturday, August 10th, 8 p.m., BELLEAYREmusic.org. Sunwood Builders, Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features, sunwood-builders.com. Spot Coffee, Saratoga Springs, New York, a community-oriented cafe featuring fresh roasted coffee, baked goods, soup, salads, pizza, and more, spotcoffee.com. And Ballantine Communications, Pleasant Valley, New York, providing sound, lighting, and video event production support for 25 years in the tri-state area, 845-635-8606.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. It's Friday, the 9th of August. Alan Chartok joins us. Ray Graff joins us. And, of course, we welcome you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. So the president announced yesterday that he'll be holding a news conference, as we mentioned, 3 o'clock today. Here are some of the issues on the agenda. Minor little things. The debt ceiling. The terror alert, potential government shutdown, immigration, Edward Snowden, Russia and surveillance programs. That's a lot.
No, that's a good start.
Yeah. This is a particularly heavy workload, isn't it, for the president, Alan?
It is. It is. And I think he knows he's got to do one.
Last one was in April, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. So he knows he's got to do one. He'll face them. I always had the feeling that Jack Kennedy had fun at the press conferences. He would pick on the most difficult reporters. Some of the people like May Craig and some others would get up and really blast them, and he would have such fun with them. It was a great show. In addition to answering questions. I don't think Barack Obama does that. I like the guy very much, but I don't think he has that kind of fun with press conferences that a Kennedy, for example, had. You take a look at Lyndon Johnson after Kennedy. You had a guy who wasn't all that good at it.
Yeah.
He thought they were attacking, and he wasn't very good at it. So it takes a special kind of self-confidence, I think, to be able to do this. He's going to answer the questions. He has to control himself so that he doesn't get angry. Because when you get angry, you lose. It's that simple. I have found that myself over the years. You have fun with it, you win. So let's look at the style in which he answers these questions. You know the answers already. You know what he's going to say about protecting our people and the United States and our personnel and listening to credible things. I mean, he's going to say all of that. It's the question of how he says it.
Hmm. Do you think he uses other means of communication, though, that he'll use the sense of, yes, okay, I can understand your point about the press conferences, but then here is a president, an acting president of the United States, who this week went on The Tonight Show.
That's right. Well, one of the things that has been happening, it's interesting, is that I think people have decided, decision makers, that the major press guys don't get any points for being nice. So what they do is they find other places, MTV, Jay Leno, and make their news that way. What's Leno going to say? What, Mr. President? I don't believe in that at all. I want to reconsider that. He's not going to do it. So he gets a break, but he also gets a humongous audience. And interestingly, he gets a very young audience. Who's up at 12 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night? I'm not. But young people are.
Ray and I have our hands up, but go ahead.
Young people are. And the, I think that that's the target audience, because the more that Barack Obama can make contact with young people in this country, I think the better he does. Let's take a look at something like the gay marriage thing, the equality in marriage. There we saw this sea change overnight in this country on that issue. And a lot of it is because young people don't understand the prejudices and horror of some of the older citizens in this country who just go in the predictable way. This is the way it's always been. We shouldn't have it. Young people think they're nuts. That gay people shouldn't be allowed to get married. So that when you see Barack Obama going around the country, addressing student, not only in now but in his campaign, you know what he's up to. And you know that he wants young people to be involved. The problem, of course, is that they don't get involved. In large part, young people do not vote, can't get them out. So the more that he can do that, the better off he is, and he knows it.
We're going to take a break and go to the news. When we come back, we will continue our conversation, have many other issues to deal with. We are going to include your letters as well. All we would ask you to do is write one. It's Roundtable. That's the only missing ingredient, I think. Roundtable.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Just roundtable@wamc.org. That's easy on your email.
That's right. Facebook, Twitter, all those means.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll be back after this short break. I love Annie Lennox's voice.
Yeah. The Eurythmics. On WAMC.
It's Flash Forward Friday.
Yeah.
It's a rainy day, which is why we're talking about things in the news, and we have a great conversation going. Well, no, it actually...
Oh.
I'm thinking by the listener's perspective, this is a fine thing to do when it's raining.
Sure.
Hole up, turn on the radio and engage.
What about when it's sunny?
Well, I think it's a fine idea for them to be in their cars going wherever it is they're going and engage.
Okay, so, all right, you've dug yourself out of that one. Let's move on.
That's when we play Katrina and the Waves Walking on Sunshine, I say the exact same thing. Welcome.
You guys know about the whole concept of people buying things and only using them a little. In other words, we buy a microwave, and we have it for 20 years. This is
right.
My case.
Bread maker.
Right. You have a bread maker. You have it for 20 years. Okay. Yeah. Those the things you use once, but the microwave, which you use every day, and every day you put your oatmeal in there. And you say, okay, I like it well cooked, so you put a little extra water in there, and you say, okay, cook me my oatmeal for 8 minutes.
Yeah. 8 minutes?
That's what I do. Eight minutes.
That's some overdone. Overdone oatmeal.
I thought that was like the time it took for a roast.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, no. So 8 minutes for the oatmeal.
Eight minutes. And then what happens is about 4 minutes in, it starts to flow over the top of the bowl you have it in.
Right, because it's ossified. The only way
you can deal with that, don't make fun of an old man.
But the
only way you can deal with that is to go into your pantry and get a gigantic, serving bowl. Put your stuff in there and it can't come over the top. Got it?
Got it.
So here we are. This microwave we've owned for at least 10 years. One day I'm looking at it and I see this thing saying power level on it.
Yeah.
I press power level and it says, 100%, 90%, 80%, 70%, get it? And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I press it at 60% and I have it in the old bowl and it doesn't flow over.
Wow.
What does this tell us about our ability to really understand that we have machines that can do, like computers, that can do everything, but we only use it for our email? Isn't that a good question?
It is a good question.
It is a good question. And remind me to show you how to work the refrigerator, because I think...
Are you condescending? What about it? Can you tell me something about the refrigerator?
Yeah.
When your refrigerator comes, right? You get your refrigerator, and you get a fancy model, and there's a water dispenser in
sure.
it, right?
Yep, the filtered water. Delicious.
Filtered water. So it comes 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It comes 10 years ago, right?
Right.
Has anybody ever changed the filter? In other words, there's the thing that you
yeah.
can take out,
yeah,
put a new one in,
that.
And you have a filter.
Yeah.
We've never done it.
We still have an ice box.
Right. I actually do have an ice box.
Well,
in the refrigerator, yeah.
I am going to tell you guys something which you are not going to believe. I remember that we used to go to a place in when I was very young, like 2 years old, called Seaside Park in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And a guy would come with the ice, with a horse and an ice thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he would take his tongs and put the ice over his back, come in, open the ice box, and put it in there.
Sure.
Unbelievable.
The Iceman cometh.
The Iceman cometh. Now, the only people who do that, you know, anymore, who buy ice boxes anymore, are your fancy people. We had one, which is, you know, you put your liquor in there. It's very,
really?
You know. Yeah.
It's hard to put. Okay. Well, I guess so.
No. What I mean is, it becomes a thing, a talking point. It's something out of another age.
You see
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's an antique, and you pay $1,000 for it, and you put it in.
Well,
the,
we have one.
Put it in,
we have one, and we use it, but it was in our family, so you know we've kept it, and but we use it for our phone books. Which you don't really use anymore.
No.
We don't really need phone books anymore.
Well, that's a great question. Do people use phone books anymore? We got a phone book on the other day here in Great Barrington. In Great Barrington where I live.
Right. Not that you would be there now. That's correct.
Right.
I'm with you.
You get the point.
Yeah.
You're still
yesterday.
And I said, well, I haven't seen a phone book for a long time. Does anybody use a phone book? And what's more, the other day I went looking for, you know, I had a junior high school music teacher, Mr. Steiker.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was interviewing Yo-Yo Ma with Joe, for the Joe Show. And I was interviewing him, and we started to talk about our music teachers. And I started to talk about Mr. Steiker. Well, Francine Steiker, his widow, who is my music teacher, was Eugene Steiker. There was a great thing in that a lady in Otis called a friend of Francine's, called Francine, and she wrote me a letter, the old style, snail mail, and it was really lovely. And I called her up, but I had to get her phone number. So now you think this story's never going to end?
No,
I'll
I do.
Bet. No. So now you go.
It'll end during the fun drive.
You have to pay to get, for $100, a story will end.
So now you go to the, you know, one of those sites like, whitepages.com.
Right.
And quite frequently, they won't give you the number.
Well, no,
they'll
because
say,
they'll be the cell phones usually aren't included, and sometimes.
No. Hers is not a cell phone.
Okay.
I found it. In our overtaxed book, which is not alphabetized, to put it mildly, and I found it and I called her, but in the meantime I couldn't get it from the internet. So much for the because they'd say, do you really want to have this?
Yeah. Do you want the criminal records? You get that too.
But they won't give you the stinking telephone number.
Yeah.
Could it be, what's the word?
Yes. Malfeasance on my part?
No.
She
doesn't want to listen. An unlisted number.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Because it
That's
seems to me
point,
like the
Joe,
public record
right
stuff seems to be available where the stuff that you do not.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, and we probably would avoid a lawsuit by saying that.
And
right
she was
now.
probably that
she didn't want it.
Yeah, she didn't want to take your call. Let's avoid Shar Talk as much
as
we
had.
Get me out of the book.
We had a lovely conversation, and Yo-Yo Ma was wonderful when he was talking about teachers who meant something and how great it was that, you know, people had, the greatest thing about a teacher was that they had patience. And I said, well, Mr. Steiker, and I pointed out that every old teacher, older teacher that we've ever had, right, Joe and Ray?
Okay.
What is their permanent first name? Mister.
Yeah.
Mister.
Right?
Mister.
Mister or Mrs.
Yeah.
Or Mrs., right?
Sure.
Yeah. And
or Miss.
And right. And or and, but never Mrs. You don't hear that. You didn't hear that back in the day. So so that I told Yo-Yo, my very good friend Yo-Yo, I said to him, you know, well, patience is good, but if I hit a bad note on the trumpet, Mr. Steiker would kick me in the shins. And he said, no, that's not good.
Yeah.
I said, but it was done loving. I said it was done lovingly, and he said, yes, well, lovingly is good. That was good. So, so because he's a wonderful man, and he would never embarrass anybody, including me, which is very hard not to do. So that's a great story, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes, it is.
We've gone from refrigerators to Yo-Yo Ma and his total decency.
And you getting kicked in the shins.
Getting kicked in the shins. I've never recovered from that, by the way.
Yeah.
But he was great. He would kick in the shin. If it was 20 below zero, he would say, we're on Riverside Drive taking my music lessons in 78th Street. And he would say, go get me some pretzels.
Or I'll kick you in the shins.
and you would do it. You would do it.
We're going to...
I can tell you even worse stories. Yeah.
No, go ahead. I was going to go take a break. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Take your... No, definitely
no, no,
take
no, 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 no. You okay, tell okay. the story, and then we'll
so
take
one day,
a break.
Okay. He would drive home. I would be the last music lesson with my friend Steve Pearl. He would put us in the car, and he would say... And we'd say, we want to be dropped off on 96th Street. He would say, I'm not going that way. But he would go that way. He'd go right through Central Park. Yeah. And one time he let us out in Queens.
Oh, boy.
So he had a great sense of humor. Great sense of humor. Terrific. I remember that, finding our way back from Queens.
You know, all this time I have done shows with you and fun drives. And there are stories I still haven't heard. It's amazing. That's a new one. And then
that's a new one. That comes up out of a different place.
And then the whole Mrs. Steiker telephone number thing. I mean, we got to write that one down.
Well, you know, you want
the number?
We now have it on tape. That's right. Okay. How old is this woman now?
She's about 85.
There you go. All right. Okay. Well, lovely.
Maybe a little old. Maybe a little older.
We're going to take a
and
break.
And a lovely lady.
when we have, I love the.
Hey, I have another story to tell.
Oh, look at the time.
I love that these music teachers all have great names. My violin teacher's name was Franz Zettelmeyer.
Oh, boy.
That's a great name, isn't it?
I suppose.
Well, anybody with the name Franz, you know it comes right out of the Listian, right out of the Franz list.
All right. I'm afraid where this is going. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the other stories we were going to talk about. And we'll get to that. And
oh,
more.
Dare me. How the time has passed. Yeah.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Featuring a variety of jewelry specializing in repair, remodeling, and recycling, 413-236-9300. Williams College Museum of Art, offering art and aperitif al fresco with the Debate Society and sponsored by the thriller Blood Play, August 15th at 5:30 p.m., wcma.williams.edu. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Local summer fruits and vegetables, tomatoes, corn, squash, watermelon, berries, and more, adamsfarms.com. In Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com.
Is it Sting or the Police?
I think that's Sting.
Yeah, yes. Sting. It was Solo. Solo Sting.
That's right.
Welcome back to our roundtable discussion. We welcome your input, roundtable at WAMC.org. So as we mentioned, the president is having a news conference at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes.
We will be covering that live, at least as when it is scheduled for. We should note that the presidential news conference comes before the president takes a 9-day vacation in Martha's Vineyard, which has become the the summer White House for this administration. Now, what's interesting is there is a lot of talk about whenever a president takes time off, and I just came across this figure and I thought it was interesting. The president has people are criticizing the president for taking time off. President Obama so far has taken 87 days off.
This year?
87 days off in his administration.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's
Nothing like George Bush. George Bush was the champion, wasn't
compared he? With 399 days for George W. Bush at the same period in his presidency.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So 89 compared to 399 days. But by the way, Ronald Reagan still holds the record.
Okay.
For that. And here again, I guess, Alan, this gets into one of those things where it's a no-win situation. But if you're the president of the United States, you know, you deserve a vacation, don't you? I mean, you're always working, of course, but you deserve to be able
Martha's
to go.
Vineyard.
And, yeah.
Can you raise a few bucks out there? A lot of rich people out there, and it's good. It's a good, safe place for your children. Look, you know, if you're the president, you got two children. You got to watch out for them, and it's very important. And I think he deserves what he gets. I mean, it's always interesting to me that we yell about some presidents in a way we don't yell about others. I'm not alleging anything here, but it is always a target of opportunity to criticize somebody for taking time off. You know, Arlo Guthrie, when Ronald Reagan was alive, and Ronald Reagan used to sleep a lot, and Arlo Guthrie said on a record, he said, this country's always safer when Ronald Reagan is sleeping. You think this is non sequitorial?
No, you're on point. But I mean, the president, he's on call. This is all.
That's right.
He's still got the nuclear football.
Right.
All right. So
you got Air Force One parked at the airport. You've got they call it the summer White House for a reason. Nothing is going to happen where the president is not going to be there.
I think it'll be okay.
Yeah. What's interesting is how we view vacation, which I think is a fascinating topic.
Oh, yeah.
August again, and in Europe that means out-of-office messages and closed signs and desolated streets. August 1st marks the unofficial start of summer vacation in Spain, France, and Italy. And even in times of economic crisis, most employees are dead set on taking their summer days. According to a report by the Center for Economic and Policy Research, European countries lead the world in guaranteeing paid leave for its workers. Spain and Germany are among the most holiday happy, both offering 34 days of paid leave each year. If there's a train in the town.
34 days of paid leave a year?
34 days of paid leave a year.
Are you listening, boss? Are you listening to that?
I'm listening. But there's a new thing afoot. Joe, did you want to finish? And then I'll tell you what the new thing is.
Okay, good. And then
if somebody sends us $100, we'll tell them what the new thing is.
CEPR reports that the United States is the only nation among advanced economies that does not provide a legal guarantee of paid leave. New Zealand and Australia ensure respectively 30 and 28 days of paid leave, and Canada's federal government
stipulates
19. Well, it's America is the only advanced economy that does not provide a legal guarantee of paid leave.
Gives us the edge. Gives us the edge.
Yeah, the edge.
But what am I going to do without you if you go away for a month, Joe? What am I going to do?
Well, I'm not going away for a month. We got Ray.
Yeah.
And then when Ray goes away.
Yeah, and Ray is terrific, and the both of you will be gone at the same time.
That's nonsense.
And then I'll go on and do it. And I'll go on, and somebody will write a letter, saying too much Shartok.
Well, look, first of all,
That, can't win.
That does not happen. Two, next Friday, I believe both Ray and I are
Oh, really?
And David is going David is going to host.
Oh.
And,
oh, is he back from vacation?
And David will be back from vacation.
I'll be darned.
And,
can I ask a question?
What?
David who?
David Gustina, you know that was a shot.
That is a shot. But here's what I'm hoping that you'll do is tell him the story of your teacher. So you can have this conversation with him and he won't know.
Yeah, well,
tell him the Shin story.
But everybody else will know.
Well, that's true.
So, okay, but here, want to know the new look?
Yes.
Right. What's the new
look?
The new look is because there are some essential personnel. You pay them for their vacation time. You give them the vacation time. We have a very generous vacation policy at WNC.
Yes, we do.
But if there is always, now this is going to get some people mad.
Okay.
But one of the things that's floating around there is the new look. They're all doing it now.
Right.
Which is you offer people compensation for the days they don't take. Now, there will be psychiatric people listening to this program right now saying that's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very unhealthy, they'll say, because people need time to regenerate, to recharge their batteries and the rest of it. But what's a person to do when you have a very small, hardworking staff and you just can't do without them. So Ray, if I gave you a choice between the 30 days you're entitled to.
Right.
Cha-ching. What would you take?
Well, I mean, certainly a partial cha-ching might come in handy at times.
Oh, but what if I made it all or nothing?
I see where you're going. All right, well, let me consult with my agent.
That was maniacal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was really a maniacal laugh.
Dr. Strangelove, we'll see you now.
Wow. All right.
Well, this is uncomfortable.
Well, let the listeners wade Check through in. That subtext.
Oh, boy.
No, right. That's not true. Well, you can have anything you want, Ray.
Okay.
You're essential to the operation of this place within Shartakian limits.
Right. One day.
All right. We would love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We hope you have a lovely and wonderful weekend. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Love having you here. We'll talk on Monday and have many more issues. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the Washington Post columnist Dan Bowles, who his new book is, what your headphones just pull up your head?
The headphones have, this is an allegory for what just happened. The headphones completely disintegrated.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
There we go. Oh, look, I can put them back together.
I'd like to tell you just one more story.
And on that note, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.